Hi, and happy 2007. I'm Kathleen Dunn. It is the first day of a brand new year, and the time seems appropriate to be taking your phone calls with suggestions for guests for this brand new year. Our phone number, and our lines are all busy, which is a good sign. It means you're up and awake and thinking at 10 o'clock. This is good. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you're in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee line is 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050. Just keep trying. If you get a busy line, you'll be able to get through eventually. And we also have email addresses, which I will give you during the course of this hour, so you can send your suggestions via email as well. Let's start with Eugene from Viola. Happy New Year, Eugene.
Oh, Happy New Year, Kathleen. I was listening to, I believe it was the NPR this morning, and they were talking about the drought and the water problem they've got down there in Texas and down there in the Southwest, and they've had for the last couple of years. And the ranchers are just about on the verge of going broke. They're living off their insurance, and that's only good for a couple of years.
Mm.
And the second one was, you mentioned in the first hour about the 19% that thought there's extraterrestrial life out there.
Right.
Okay. You might interview one of those people, because if we keep messing up our climate and environment the way we have been, we may have to start negotiations for another place to go.
You interview one of those extraterrestrials?
Yeah.
or the people who believe in it? I'd be happy to interview one of them. That would be a first. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Eugene.
Yeah,
thanks. Goodbye. Let's go to Dave from La Crosse. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I've been listening for a little while, and, I'm really concerned that the Democrats want to pull us out of the Middle East, and I hear your callers advocating cut and run.
Nobody said that this morning.
Yes. I'd hate to see that happen, have us leave with our work about half done and make a bigger mess than we started with, but then we went there to cure.
Uh-huh.
A lot of progress has been made. You won't see that on the news, of course, but a lot of things have been done that are progressing towards completing or making a better country. And if we just leave, then it'll revert back to a mob rule like it had before. Well, it was controlled only by Saddam Hussein, who was murdering and raping and pillaging, and then a different group will be murdering, raping, and pillaging.
What progress do you think has been made, Dave?
I didn't understand.
What progress do you think has been made?
Well, let's see. When I got there 8 months ago, the United States and the coalition was responsible for 100% of the security in Iraq, and by the beginning of last month, 30% of that was being handled by the Iraqi army.
What were you doing? Were you serving? Were you in the army or?
Yes.
Oh.
The people in Iraq are starting to feel secure enough around the army that they will tell them what's going on. They won't talk to the police very often. Of course, the police are pretty corrupt over there. But they'll tell the army where the bad guys
mm-hmm.
are, so that we can start cleaning up the bad guys.
All right. So you're looking for a program that looks at progress in Iraq, the progress that has been made.
It'd be nice if you could hear from someone like General Abadi or General Babaker, but I don't think that'll happen, and you'd have to have a translator in order to do that.
Right.
Something that would explain the progress that has been made, because that is never seen on television or radio.
All right, Dave, thanks for the suggestion. And we go to Mike from Madison. Hi, Mike.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mike.
In terms of suggestions for 2007, I don't know if this is more rhetorical than pragmatic, but I guess what I'd like to see happen within the mainstream media and public radio being part of that mainstream media is that a new descriptive vocabulary, as it were, be used in conversations surrounding administrative policy, especially at the federal level. My sense is that the mainstream media has more or less adopted what really are marketing slogans generated oftentimes quite literally by New York marketing firms.
Well, like what? What are you talking about?
Oh, taglines like the war on terror, for example, or the war against Iraq. I mean, war has a specific legal definition. War has, as a matter of policy, has a protocol which is constitutionally defined and very explicitly spelt out within the Constitution. And those words are being used rather sloppily and I would say unthinkingly and have become, in a sense, have framed the public discourse simply by their repetition, when in fact what's really gone on is the president and his men come up with a series of titles that they wish to use in order to frame a program of policy.
All right, so you're looking for careful use of language or discussion of language and the way we use language. I'm trying to get the suggestion here.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is that, for example, at the beginning of the last hour, you had mentioned that the top story was the war on Iraq. Now, I might be mistaken here, but as far as I understand, Congress never actually never voted on an official declaration of war. The president said, we're going to go to war.
Okay.
Or we're going to start a military action, and Congress said, well, we'll fund it.
Okay.
But they never voted on a war, and yet this phrase continues to be repeated as though it describes some sort of objective reality.
All right, we got the suggestion. Be looking at use of language, journalists' use of language, and what it means, and if it needs to be more refined. Thanks for the call. Arlene is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Arlene.
Hi. Happy New Year,
Happy
Kathleen.
New Year, Arlene.
And what I wanted to suggest is, you know, you often have wonderful, wonderful guests on, as usual, and when they speak about current events and what's going on and so forth, the hour goes so fast, and you have so many listeners left that would like to say their piece. And I find them so interesting. As you say, every one of your guests touts the fact that your listeners are so well educated and respond to the topic so well. I would like to hear it extended so that we can hear those people that are left on the line or that want to call in and want to add their two cents to the topic, because sometimes they say things that are much more pertinent and interesting than even your guest has said, and that I can look up and find out that this is going on and that is going on from what they have learned. So an extension, maybe, I don't know how you do it, of, you know, that hour that you give to the guest. And then those people that still want to call in and speak on the topic, not to have the guest answer their question, but just to speak on it and relate what they know, so that they could, you know, so that your other listeners could say, oh, a new thought, you know, and stuff like that. It just, sometimes it ends too short where you can't get them
right.
All on. And there's so many of us that find this is the only outlet to get our thoughts out, and we know stuff that we would like to impart to other people that are listening. I don't know how you do it, but maybe you guys can figure it out. But
okay.
Anyways, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Arlene. Thanks for your call.
Well,
Kay is next from Madison. Hi, Kay.
Hi. Two suggestions. One is a book that just came out. I heard it on Talk of the Nation last week. It's called A Perfect Mess.
Okay.
The Hidden Value of Disorder.
Oh, somebody had that on, didn't they, recently? I think Joy had the guest on last week or the week before.
Oh, okay. Well,
right.
All right. My other suggestion is more program related, that as much as I like to hear all of us call in our suggestions, I think if you look back, you'll see that the majority of these program suggestion hours have been at 10 o'clock, which means it gets repeated at 10. And if I had a choice, I would rather hear, let's say, like Craig Gilbert repeated at 10.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that makes sense. For it, why does it always have to be 10 o'clock repeat? It could be 9 o'clock.
Right.
But you know, look at the positive side.
No, but
you
I
get
mean,
to hear yourself tonight at 10. Tune in and hear yourself. You'll be on about 10:15.
Right, but just at least alternate the times that you have this call-in hour.
All right, I don't know why we've just chosen 10:10. It's a good idea. Which show, the show that's more compelling? Why mm-hmm. can't we? Yeah, why can't we do that? All right, thanks, Kay.
All right.
We'll find out about that. Let's go to Gene from Oshkosh. Hi, Gene.
Oh, happy New Year, Kathleen.
You too, Gene.
Thank you. I suppose since this has just happened to us, it's rather current. And I don't have a suggestion for a guest, but I'm certain there are academics who have made a specialty of analyzing, let's say, the airline industry, which is what I'm talking about. A couple of issues. One is, why are they going bankrupt when the flights are virtually all full?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, what are the rights of ticket holders, especially the e-ticket holders. This just happened to me. I suppose I shouldn't be griping because we have the wherewithal to go to the Caribbean, but we're leaving on Saturday. But we got a call and simply said, well, your flight is canceled. And when we asked to address alternatives, well, if we were to put you on some other flight, that would be $100 penalty.
Because, oh, my.
And it was only, and I would recommend this for the listeners, is we have a wonderful Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And only after I contacted them and they were able to give me a special corporate telephone number that I was able to speak to someone who would even consider making a just arrangement as far as the additional costs of rescheduling and considering moving off airline A into airline B.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, ever since we had this change in fare structure, deregulation of the airline industry, the typical flyer is getting less and less service and is being considered,
That would be a good show, Gene.
Thank you, Kathleen.
All right, and everything is worked out for you? You're on your way?
We are, and I do wish to thank Delta for finally coming through, but it's necessary to dig to about the third or fourth layer before you get any satisfaction at all.
Yeah, it's not the way it should be. Thanks, Gene.
I'm going to miss you for a month, though.
A whole month, Gene?
A whole month. How about that?
Yeah.
Retired academics can do that. Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah, thanks, Gene. Bye. Rich from Rhinelander. Hi.
Hi. Have a healthy, prosperous New Year, Kathleen.
You too, okay. Rich.
Okay. I think one of the issues that people discuss these days is whether our economy is going to have a hard or a soft landing. And there's an author out there. His name is Jeff Faux, F-A-U-X. And what he says essentially is Americans are so deceived about a hard or a soft landing to the economy because he believes we don't even realize whether it's hard or soft. We're going to have a landing in terms of the economy. And his new book is The Global Class War, How America's Bipartisan Elite Lost Our Future and What It Will Take to Win It Back.
Okay.
I think you'd get a lot of callers.
I think you're right, Rich.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Happy
Thanks
New
for
Year.
The call. Happy New Year to you, too. John is next from Racine. We have a couple lines open if you've been trying to get through. 800-486-8655 is our number. If you're in Milwaukee, it's 227-2050. Hi, John.
Hello. I'd like to suggest a series of programs with people who are scholars on Iraq in the area, historians, religious scholars, people who can help us understand the complexities of the conflict there. I think if we had had more people like that before the war started, maybe people would have realized how difficult the situation would be. There were some people who were predicting exactly what we see now, but unfortunately the mainstream media went along with the frenzy. And people who really know things and have spent their life studying the issue and can explain it were not heard.
They were heard here, I got to tell you. I am proud of our efforts in that regard. We had a lot of scholars who did say just what you said. And I think, though, that the press didn't do its job in in looking at the ramifications of all of this, everybody kind of fell on the task. The New York Times, the Congress, the American people not demanding this. It was too big a thing to not be investigated quite thoroughly, I believe.
It seems like people are ready to listen more to that type of information because people are generally confused.
I think you're right.
Thank you.
John, thanks so much for your call.
Yeah,
we'll pause for just a moment and return. It's the first open line of 2007, so we're asking you to call to make suggestions of programs that you'd like to have on the air during these hours. And we take them to heart, we write them down, and sometime soon you'll see some of them on the air for sure. I also want to give you our email addresses because some of you will not be near a phone. It's just something, you know, the idea may not pop in your head today, but it might tomorrow or the next day or next week. And you can send us an email. My email is dunk@wpr.org. And Rhonda Fanning, the producer of this program, is Fanning, FANNING@WPR.org. So send us your suggestions, and we'd like to hear from you. More calls in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn on this first day of 2007. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Oh, I should have told you about tomorrow, so I'll tell you about tomorrow. First hour of tomorrow's program, the author of 365 Ways to Change the World, How to Make a Difference One Day at a Time, inspirational show. And the second hour of the show, we'll be talking with the author of The Coming Draft. And the subtitle is The Crisis in Our Military and Why Selective Service is Wrong for America. So that'll get you calling. That's tomorrow. The 2nd of January. Right now it's a open line, and our number is 800-486-8655, 227-2050 in Milwaukee. Jane from Manitowish Waters is next. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Just great.
Good.
Thanks. I'm up north, and it's cold, and it's the reading season. So, well, more of a reading season than sometimes. And I think I would like to hear something about the impact of these mass booksellers like Amazon and Barnes and Noble, their effect on what is marketed and pushed.
Mm-hmm.
It affects, I think, what we're reading, and it might just affect what gets published.
That's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd enjoy it. Thanks for having the open line.
Thanks, Jane. Thanks
Bye.
For your call. Dawn from Wauwatosa. Hi.
Hi. Happy New Year, Kathleen.
You too, Dawn.
You're welcome. I would like to have a program on who's getting access to and using our Social Security number and what we can do to prevent that if possible.
Okay. Okay, John.
Okay.
Thanks. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome. Bye.
Let's go to Marjorie. Hi, Marjorie.
Hello.
Hi.
The caller before the last one was talking about booksellers. And this is about a book written by a Wisconsin author called Holocaust Mosaic. And she had to publish her book on iUniverse by herself because it's very hard for an author to become published. But this book is published, and it's a very readable account of the Holocaust. And with all the talk about it didn't happen, and there are even Hasidic Orthodox Jewish rabbis who are agreeing that this didn't happen. That may be...
Of course it happened.
Well, this book is history, but it's very personal. And this is a woman who grew up in Milwaukee.
Uh-huh. And she's saying the Holocaust didn't happen.
No, she's saying it did happen.
Oh, it did happen. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you correctly. Okay. So...
With the talk about it didn't happen.
I see.
Book might be interesting.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just a lot. How do people get these crazy ideas? We got pictures of it. We got journals. Our forces liberated the camps. Where do people think they can even espouse such an idea that it didn't happen? Stuff drives you nuts sometimes, doesn't it?
Well, however, 60 years have passed, and it's hard to learn about it at this point. You know, it's hard to say, oh, we did this. But this book is so readable about the atrocities, but it's very...
All right, so it's Holocaust Mosaic by Helen Weber.
And she's a Milwaukee native.
Okay.
And She's going to have her 94th birthday January 3rd.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that something? All right. Thank you so much, Marjorie, for your call. We have a couple lines open. It's our January open line, so take this chance right now to give us some interesting, different, creative suggestions, or just somebody you think who would be a good guest on a topic that we've covered many times. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. In Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. And several of our lines are open right now, so grab them, all right? Michael is next from Danbury. Hello, Michael.
Well, good morning, Kathleen, and thanks for listening. I have two quick ones. One is on content, and one is a dialogue, I think, that we ought to get going. And I'll start with a dialogue. The United States is no longer a growth economy, nor will it ever be in the global world, and that the whole economy is shifting to Asia. And I think that we're ill-prepared for that, both in the, like Bill Gates and his wife, state that we're not bringing out the right kinds of high school students, much less college students, preparing to be, live in a world where they're not dominant. 300 million people on a planet of 1.6 billion, we have a very good example. Japan has lost its dominancy. England lost its dominancy. We need to prepare ourselves, and how are we going to play that? We can't just beat our way to the finish line. And I think we really need to talk about how do we move forward and act and learn to behave as a minority nation? Not that we won't be influential. And the second thing really kind of ties to that. One of the ways it can help your programming, which I love very much, you guys do a wonderful job, and that is increase the content of what we perceive as minorities, which are really the majority of people that you bring in for discussion. For example, we need more people that represent the alternative side. We have a lot of Americans, white Anglo-Saxons, Israelis, and so forth, commenting on the Middle East, or the Anglo-Saxons commenting about Africa, but we don't have Africans. We don't have the Rwandans to the extent. I mean, we have a few, but not enough to represent that view. And we've got, of course, China and India coming forward. And there's so much we need to know about those cultures, those people, their ways of thinking, so that we can get along as opposed to perceive them as some sort of tall shadow looming threat.
Right. All right, you make a valid point. I'm with you.
We really need to get our content up of what the, 94% of the world's population lives outside the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not ready. We haven't even begun to prepare ourselves for having to live that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Michael, for your suggestion.
Thank you.
Thanks. Mark is next from Richland Center. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Kathleen.
Hi, Mark.
There's a lot of talk about corporate control of the country, and it has a lot of merit. I think that a detailed, in-depth sort of investigation of the capitalistic system as compared to other methodologies would be worthy of consideration. I don't think you can do it in one show.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the To Best of Our Knowledge group is a better suited to investigate this. In Spain, or starting in Spain, the Mondragon Cooperative Network started 60 years ago or more, and now they make up 150-something companies throughout the planet, in Asia, in South America, in Eastern Europe, in Western Europe. And they have it's not really a communistic model, it's called cooperativism.
Mm-hmm.
And the subjugation of capital is one of the premises of the cooperative model that says that it's the people themselves, in a very democratic system, that are the riches of the company, not just the money in the bank or the power of the stockholders. And I think a detailed investigation of that would be worthy of consideration so that people can see something other than this dichotomous presentation of capitalism versus communism, because it's stupid. It doesn't really give you another alternative, and it doesn't allow the capitalistic system to be questioned in a legitimate way, because everybody says, well, communism is illegitimate, therefore capitalism needs to stand. But the capitalistic system as it exists today, especially in our country, is run amok with corruption. And the Mondragon model is one model to look at, but there are others. But the worker-owned movement, worker-owner movement, is extremely successful with Mondragon because of the voluntary subjugation of capital. So I think something along those lines would be worth looking at.
All right, Mark.
I've called this in a couple of times, and it's been poo-pooed a number of times simply because I'm questioning the capitalistic system.
Oh, we'll question anything. It's all right with us.
Cooperativism.
Yeah. All right.
Mondragon is Mondragon.
All right.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. Bye. All right. Jim from Appleton. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. I would like to have an IMDA study on the effects of illegal aliens in the United States.
All right.
We all know there's a war on that, as one of your callers came in. But I'd also like to, just like to have an in-depth study of what effects that the illegal aliens would have in the United States. Would it create a degenerative United States? Would it become a third world country rather than a primary world country?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Jane from Madison. Hi, Jane.
Hi. Yes, I'm calling because I'm head of a military family group, and we now have about 252 members. And I would like to see an issue discussed that you never hear about, and that is the terrible adjustment that the soldiers have from coming back. And we show the film Ground Truth a lot, and people who watch that, you know, it's just really hard for people to understand that even when they do come back, the adjustment is just so difficult. And I don't know if you could get the soldiers themselves to discuss it, but I know a lot of family members that would.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people see the casualties of the war as being killed and wounded, but they don't see how disruptive their lives are forever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have had some returning soldiers talk about that, but it's certainly something we'll talk about again, I'm sure, in the new year. So if you want to send us, if you could, Jane, can you send me an email that talks about your organization, please, and
yes.
How to get a hold of you, and yes. Maybe we could arrange something.
Yeah, I'd like to see family members discussing
yes.
this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good idea. Thanks. And the email is dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org. Frank from Oshkosh. Hi.
Hi. I'm just wondering if you could have Amy Goodman on from Democracy Now.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe discuss, you know, having an hour less of BBC and maybe carrying Democracy Now, or maybe what the trouble, you know, what the politics behind having something like that type of a news program on. I know they're being carried now in over 500 radio low-powered stations across the nation, and maybe having her on.
Oh, yeah, she's been on several times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
Oh, okay, okay. Because
we'll
I know she's coming back on in March or something like that. And
coming back where?
To Madison.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay.
All right,
that's
thanks.
All.
Uh-huh. Thanks for the call. Art from Milwaukee, hello.
Hi, Kathleen. First of all, I want to thank you for working on this holiday. Greatly appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Art.
So I have a specific suggestion, which I've made before, but I'd like to use this opportunity to, you know, engage in a little bit of broader policy philosophical question, which is, you know, how do you deal with an issue that perhaps one would argue objectively should be known, but it's not, you know, on the front page of the New York Times? And I think generally in picking your guests and topics, you tend to want to go to things that are recognized. So the example I'm talking about is the Cuban Five, which probably not 1% of your listeners know anything about. It's a case specifically Wisconsin-based because one of them has been in Wisconsin here. They're in their eighth year of prison. It's been recognized by the United Nations, criticized by Amnesty International, many other international law groups around the world as a case of political prisoners. And these are folks who tried to stop U.S.-based terrorism against Cuba and had the longest criminal trial in the history of the U.S. that was only covered in Miami. And it goes not only the situation of injustice, and shouldn't people in Wisconsin at least know about this and be able to decide whether it is a fair thing or not, but also the whole question of the legitimacy of the U.S. war on terrorism. If we coddle people in this country, such as Orlando Bush or Luis Posada, who, you know, blew up a plane, killed all the civilians on board, beginning the idea of terrorism against airliners in the Western Hemisphere, It was a Cuban plane. Most of the people killed were Cubans, so it's not something most people in this country even remember. But the people who did that are in the United States, and the people who tried to stop their further activity are in prison. And it's something that I think people should know about, even though it has not been widely covered in the U.S. You won't find it on the front page of the New York Times, but the L.A. Times did a major story. Washington Post did a major story in the last few months. And I would suggest it's something that you would consider that your listeners should know more about. Some of the people who could be good speakers, Leonard Weinglass, who's one of the preeminent defense lawyers in political cases, represents one of the five and is a very good spokesperson.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Pertierra, who's a Cuban-American lawyer in D.C., is deeply involved as well in the Posada case, which is the one of those terrorists who's perhaps on the verge of being freed, perhaps not. He's in a immigration hold but never been charged with terrorism after admitting to the New York Times that he hired people to blow up Havana hotels and killed an Italian tourist. And he's never been charged with terrorism. And the rest of the world covers this, you know, not as much as some of us might like, but asks, you know, isn't there a double standard here? Does the U.S. really have a legitimate case against terrorism if they don't deal with these things in their own backyard? And we have a case right here in Oxford, Wisconsin, of someone in prison for now in his eighth year for trying to stop this, and no one seems to know about it.
All right, Eric, thanks very much for your call.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, Happy New Year. We go next to Steve from Burlington. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Steve.
Hey, I've got, I actually listened to this caller. I have another suggestion, but I'll leave that one off. I can email you on that one.
Okay.
One's kind of a general one, and it kind of, it's more personal because it drives me nuts sometimes when people, and I can hear it not only in your voice, but other interviewers. When people, you say, okay, what's your question? And then they rattle on and they rattle on and they rattle on, and it's like, okay, what's the question? There is no question coming out. And when you have an hour show, and actually it's less with the news,
mm-hmm.
I want as much information as I can get out of that show.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few friends of mine that listen, and sometimes I'll miss and we'll put our heads together to try to remember everything we heard on the show. The other suggestion, and you know what I was thinking is maybe if you threw that out to the audience, to us, maybe we could come up with suggestions on a show. How do you get people to get to the point of what they're talking about? You know?
Right, okay.
My other suggestion is, and it's only because I'm a dance instructor and I love to dance and I love to teach dancing.
Oh, great, Steve.
It's wonderful. And with this dance craze that's going on around the country and I believe around the world with other types of dancing, what about doing periodically a show on, I mean, there's old dancers or dance choreographers that
mm-hmm.
are guys that are just not going to be around too much longer. Frankie Manning, for instance,
mm-hmm.
Created the Lindy Hop. He's in his 90s.
Mm.
He's still teaching in his 90s.
Is he really?
He was just out in Portland, Oregon back in October, and I missed him by a week. I was teaching out there.
Oh.
And maybe do a show, maybe interviewing him, or I don't even know
sure.
which direction you can go, but it seems to be a wave, and it's in more of a positive direction. I mean, we've got a lot of other things going on in the world, but sometimes, you know, we need something to lighten things up a bit.
Right. What kind of dance do you teach, Steve?
I teach everything from Charleston and swing on to progressive line dancing.
Oh, great.
From ballroom and world music. And I'm always learning. I'm learning Argentine tango right now, so I can teach that. And it's wonderful to see people get on the floor that say, oh, I got two left feet, I can't dance. And then a session or two, all of a sudden they're dancing and the look on their face. And
right. Oh, well, you send me an email. You'd be a great person to have on to talk about dancing. No, I'd love to do that.
Kathleen, I'll definitely send you an email.
Please,
on the
Steve.
Other, on the other subject also.
Okay, all right.
Hey, thanks for working today.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Sure,
bye. Yeah, show on dancing. There's something different. Boyd from Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Happy New Year.
Happy
to
New
you.
Year, Boyd.
I actually have a recommendation. Have you ever had James Lowen on your show?
I don't know.
He was the historian. Actually, when you had that gentleman on, I want to say November, what was his name? Kyle, I forget his last name. He just came out with a new book on history, and he wrote History Lessons, What Other Countries Learn About American History.
Hmm.
The last name escapes me, but he made reference to James Lowen. And he two books that he has written was Lies Across America and Lies My Teacher Told Me. A lot of people who might like Howard Zinn and the woman that you had on probably would also probably agree with a lot of what James Lowen has to say as
okay.
well.
Okay.
And that's just food for thought right now. So.
All right, Boyd.
Okay.
We thank you for the food for thought.
My pleasure.
All right. Happy New Year to you. Virginia from Ellison Bay. Hi.
Hi. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Virginia.
I suffer a little depression, but I heard Bob Elliott on.
Yes.
And the skits regarding Bob and Ray got me laughing.
Oh, good.
Day.
Good, Virginia.
So I enjoy humor.
I'm with you
Thank
on that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a real treat to have Bob on the show. It was the 21st, I think, of December. He doesn't give very many interviews, and he was just charming as could be. And we played some of their more famous sketches. And we will keep doing comedy during 2007. I promise you that. It's something that we started last spring. We're doing comedy in the spring, in the summer, in the fall, and in the winter. And we've done three shows now, and so winter will be coming. And I agree. It's good to laugh. And that was, I'll remember that interview always. He was, and I discovered them, you know, in the last year and a half, Bob and Ray. That was a fun thing to discover. They're sophisticated. I love the call when somebody called in to Bob and said, your comedy is like a New Yorker cartoon, which is the first thing I do when I get the New Yorker, as well as read the cartoon. So it was a good hour. I'm glad you laughed, Virginia. Thanks for the call. We go next to Paul from Duluth. Hi, Paul.
Happy New Year, Kathleen.
Happy New Year, Paul.
You know, I wish I could remember the name of the university or college. It's in the UP of Michigan. Puts out an annual report every year around this time about words that should be banned from the English language.
Oh.
And I know you've done programs in the past about people's pet peeves. Those are always fun. And I think if you could get one of the things that they came up with this year was contracting celebrity names like Brangelina and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, one of my pet peeve words is utilize when use would do. And I think you could have an awful lot of fun with a show like that where people could call in
I agree.
And say, this is the most annoying word going around right now.
I agree.
I know sometimes you like to lighten it up, and I always appreciate it when you do that.
Right. I do, too. I think we need to lighten it up a little bit more in 2007. All right, Paul, we'll track it down.
All righty.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We're doing an open line for the month of January. This is your chance. I know it's a holiday, but our lines have been filled, so thanks, everybody, for all of your calls, suggestions of shows, what you'd like to hear on the air from 9 to 11. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. In Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. 227-2050. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow, we'll be talking about whether or not there will be a draft, and should be a draft. Our guest, the author of The Coming Draft, The Crisis in Our Military and Why Selective Service is Wrong for America. Also, the author of, and this should be fun, I'm sure you'll have a lot of suggestions to add to the author's, 365 Ways to Change the World, How to Make a Difference One Day at a Time. Back to phone calls, 800-486-8655, 227-2050 in Milwaukee. Frank from Madison, hi.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Frank.
You have a good new year.
Thanks, you too.
I would like to second a previous suggestion that you have someone on to talk about the misuse of language. You
okay.
know, a war on terror or, you know, the liberation of Iraq, that type of thing, and the automatic use of these prefabricated phrases with the associated ideas. And Christopher Hitchens might make a good guest, although he's in a very interesting political space now,
mm-hmm.
in that he wrote a book called Why Orwell is Important.
Hmm.
And many people will remember the little essay at the end of 1984 on the misuse of language.
Mm-hmm.
So he would be quite good. The second, and I made this suggestion before, is have one of the biographers of Gertrude Bell on. There's been a spate of recent works. And she pretty much created post-World War I Iraq. She was a very interesting individual herself. And I'd like to squeeze in a third suggestion. There's an author called Stern who wrote a autobiography called The Three Germanys I Have Known. And it's about the political lassitude of sort of progressive, modern, bourgeois culture. And there might be some resemblance to the United States.
All right, Frank.
So you have a good New Year.
Thanks, Frank.
Take
you
care.
Too.
Bye.
Uh-huh. Bye. Milton from West Allis, hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
NPR has a new ombudsman, Bill Marimau. I think he would make a great guest. I know that hosts had the previous ombudsman on. Those were always a lively hour. So I'd like to suggest having the new one on.
Okay.
And thank you very much for all your work. I enjoy listening, and I look forward to another year in 2007.
Thanks, Milton. Happy New Year to you. Thanks for calling. We go next to, here we go, Don from Stevens Point. Hi, Don.
Hi, Kathleen. Excuse me. Happy New Year.
You too.
I always enjoy your program. I want to recommend, if you haven't had these authors on yet, one of them, James Moore and Wayne Slater, who are the authors of the bestseller Bush's Brain, and their most recent book is called The Architect.
Okay.
And the subtitle is Karl Rove and the Master Plan for Absolute Power.
Okay.
And it details the manipulative way in which he's influenced the elections in the country and legislation and so on and so forth. It's pretty frightening, because his plan is to have at least a generation of nothing but Republican rule, influenced by big business and corporations, what have you. So, it's The Architect by Karl Rove.
Right. He is the architect. Okay.
Right.
All right, Don. Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you. I hope to hear about him.
Okay, bye. Thanks. Bye. We go next to Sanette from Lake Geneva. Hi.
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 Well, I would like to have a program, weekly would be nice, on the Constitution and how the week's events relate to the Constitution. Examine them as to how they either are violating the Constitution or reinstating the Constitution. For example, I think our Constitution is being violated by our government saying it's all right to kidnap people all over the world if they think they're terrorists, and to ignore habeas corpus and keep them incommunicado in a secret prison and no charges. They don't know what charges are against them, and they can be tortured. All these are in direct violation of our own Constitution. And any issue that is that could stand the scrutiny of the Constitution would be a very good public servant, and I think it'd be really interesting.
All right, Sunette, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Daniel from Rice Lake, hi.
Hello. First, thank you for replaying the program on Mr. Rogers on Christmas Day. My sister got to listen to it.
Great.
A suggestion for a program: in a time when antibiotics are becoming less effective with growing bacterial resistance, there are many natural antibiotics, such as allicin and onion and garlic species, essential oils derived from turmeric, sage, oregano, and many other plant sources. I have no suggestion for an expert on the subject.
All right, Daniel. Thank you for your call. Happy New Year.
Sure. Thank you.
Bye. Todd from Fairchild. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Todd.
In the December 2006 issue of The Sun, the religious expert from Iraq, Reza Aslan, did an interview article called The War Within Islam, on how the U.S. fails to understand the Muslim world. He's been on NPR before. His name is spelled R-E-Z-A-A-S-L-A-N. He's a fairly well-known religious scholar.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought his perspective on how U.S. policymakers have kind of consistently misunderstood the sort of the base motives of Muslim peoples in the Middle East would be, you know, really useful for listeners in general and assessing Iraqi war policy.
Okay, Todd, great suggestion. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye. Eve from Woodstock, Illinois. Hi.
Hi.
I would like, actually, you couldn't do this in just one session, but looking at Lyme disease, physicians treating it, being not able to treat it, because the latest thing is I had the physician tell me, well, yes, you have it, but I can't treat you because anything I do, FDA wouldn't like. I've had problems with insurance companies. There is no really known treatment, but anything we try, they won't pay for. So you're kind of like in this no place. You know, there's what do you do? And I just feel like it's so unresearched and unknown. Many doctors don't know about it. They don't really understand it. And everybody kind of has their head in the sand about it. And so I think it'd be good to talk to people like from Center of Disease Control, National Institute of Health, but also talk to support groups, talk to any physicians that treat it, if they even dare come on the air. I don't know if they would, because they don't want to be labeled as such. But it just seems to me like it's something that's not looked at and known about. And it's also that people don't realize how easily they can get it.
Right.
I don't really know exactly how I got it. I have, you know, and so I'm one of the unfortunate ones because I couldn't be treated. My sister did have the typical bullseye rash, and she was treated and didn't get it. But I probably had it for at least 30 years.
30 years?
Yes. I probably had it before it was even known about.
Uh-huh.
So, and right now I'm allergic to antibiotics, so that's not an option for me. And so then what are the options? And the options that there are, basically, it involves going underground, that doctors aren't going to do it because it's not approved. And I don't really want to be treating myself.
Mm-hmm. All right, so a show on Lyme disease. I didn't realize there was such a problem in people getting treatment for this. So we'll tell you, we'll hearing what you're saying and maybe do a show on that, Eve. Thanks for your call. Peter is next from Stoughton. Hi, Peter.
Good morning.
Hello.
I'm by no means a hardcore football fan. In fact, I think I've only been to one game in my whole life. But I think it would be really interesting if you had Brett Favre speak.
Sure.
As your screener suggested, maybe he would make his big announcement on Wisconsin.
Yeah,
Public Radio.
Somehow I don't think so, but maybe we could get him for an interview. I don't know if we could get an hour with him, but that'd be interesting. Sure.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. And let me give you, as we're taking more calls, the email address is once again, because you're ever so welcome to send us emails in case you didn't get through or your idea comes to you tomorrow or some other time. It is dunk@wpr.org, dunk@wpr.org. Or you can send an email to Rhonda as well, the producer, Rhonda Fanning, and hers is Fanning, fanning@wpr.org. We'll listen to your suggestions anytime, and they're, believe me, always welcome. Daryl from Delavan, hi.
Yes, Happy New Year.
You too, Daryl.
And I hope it's a better one than last. And I kind of am concerned with the word, which has changed our reality here in the past few days, the surge by the administration.
Right.
So, like a couple other callers, I think, you know, that's important, the language. You know, we need to talk more about that language that's coming out of the administration.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the legislature, too.
All right, so you want to show on language as well.
Thank you.
All right, Daryl, thanks
bye
so
now.
Much. Bye. Bye. Tomorrow during these hours, we'll be talking about 365 ways to change the world, inspiration every day for you, and also we'll look at how strong the military is and whether or not we need a draft. Our guest is will be the author of The Crisis in Our Military and Why Selective Service is Wrong for America. Alice is next from Gurnee. Hi, Alice.
Yes, I wanted to suggest that you have maybe just set aside 5 minutes for a mini Bughouse Square from your callers and give them each 30 seconds for their opinion, one after the other after the other.
What did you call it? A what square?
Bughouse Square.
Bughouse Square.
They used to have it in Chicago where they would stand up at soapbox and give a minute
sure.
speech.
I guess I just never heard that phrase before, the Bughouse Square. All right, yeah, I guess we could... I guess we could work that out. You know, there are some times when that might accomplish one of the goals of an earlier caller, where she wanted to do the callers to just, after
and
you have a guest, keep going in the next hour, which probably isn't
and
very
besides,
feasible.
If they only have 30 seconds, they will think about it and make it more poignant than some people ramble, you know.
Do they really? I didn't know that, Alice. they need it. They need a place to talk, right?
Right.
All right.
We
thanks.
All love you, though.
Thanks, Alice. Yeah. Bye. So that's it for our open line for January. Thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. They were good, and we got them all written down. I do at least. I will talk over the ideas with Rhonda tomorrow, and we'll get rolling on some of them. Thanks to John Treader for coming in this holiday, January 1st, a wonderful volunteer. And thanks for all of your calls, everybody. Get a little nervous doing an open line on a holiday, but there you were, and you were even thinking, which was great. Tomorrow we'll be with you, our normal time from 9 to 11. The email address is, once again, if you couldn't get through, dunk@wpr.org, fanning@wpr.org. We welcome your suggestions anytime, not just during open lines. You see things sometimes, well, frequently, actually, that we don't. So let us know. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Have a wonderful 2007. We're looking forward to giving you the best programming that we can. News is next on the Ideas Network.